Trish and Nicole and their expert guests are here to answer all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Candid discussions and stories of the latest trends and greatest gadgets. From dry vagina to frozen faces, Aesthetics Uncensored, where nothing is off limits.
Hello listeners, it's Trish Hammond here and I'm joined with Nicole Montgomery. We're from Aesthetics Uncensored and today we are talking to the delightful Grizz. Now Grizz is from Front and Center Training Solutions and she spends her days doing everything in the aesthetic medical retail arena. So that's from teaching people how to live their best lives in business, personally, and basically how to be the best version of themselves. So welcome Grizz, welcome Nick.
Oh my God, I want to go first. I'm just going to chime in because delightful as an introduction is a pretty cool way to be introduced. So if you could just replay that, listeners, just delightful Grizz, and I'll walk around adding it. Thanks for having me. It's an absolute delight to be here with you two ladies. Over to you, Nick.
Welcome so much, Grizz. You are just our sunshine, our ray of sunshine. When we see you pop up on our social, we go, did you see Grizz? All the time. We love you so much. Your biggest girl fans over here.
Oh my gosh, my cheeks are as bright as my pink jacket that I'm wearing for you listeners. I've got this bright fluoro jacket on and it matches my cheeks because, you know, it's so lovely to hear that. You do, you change people's worlds every day and that's my why. People always ask, you know, what's your why do you do what you do? It's having someone say that they had benefit from something I said or did for them. So thank you.
I started making my bed because of you.
You keep making it every single day. Because if everything else goes crap in the day, you know, you've come home to a bed that you made and that's an achievement for your day, right?
So true. Absolutely. It is so important. The bed making is the very first step of the day. I'm with you 100%. So, Grizz, tell us, so first of all, what got you into doing what you do? Because number one, you do it so well, but like, how did you start? Like, when did you decide this is what I want to do? I want to change people's lives by, you know, making them feel better about themselves, just, you know, giving them some direction in life.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And people ask me often, and I was working in pharmaceutical for many years in the learning and development space. And every time I tried to do a program that had some spunk about it or had some difference about it or had the teams going mystery shopping with money, or everyone kept shutting me down and said, Grizz, no, you need to do PowerPoint, death by PowerPoint. You can't be doing all these random things. And one day I was driving to work and I thought, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do it my way because I can do it better and I can reach more people and I can make it about, you know, what the people want, not what medical dictates or not what someone says in a pharma company. So a business partner and I joined forces and 15 years ago, we decided to make it about what people wanted. And even to this day, Trish, you know, we go on pitch programs. When we talk about what's in the programs, you see people around the boardroom going, I don't think my team will want to do that. I don't think that, you know, we need to, because fundamentally in the corporate training world, it is death by PowerPoint and 25,000 medical slides for a 15-minute time slot. Well, you need about 3 slides for a 15-minute time slot and you need stories and you need captivating and you need a whole lot of other stuff that goes into it. So the way we started training was totally different and that's what took the world by, and I'll say world because we're now certainly doing stuff all over the world, but it takes the world by storm. And when you start to lock down what people assume training should be and give them free range, that's when you get the best out of everyone.
That's so true. And I, you know, like the first time I saw you at a presentation, it was at like you first started speaking and I'm like, hang on, this is something totally different. This is not what I expected. This is like not that it's not a normal people, but like, you know, I've always put, you know, doctors on this pedestal and all the professionals in the aesthetic industry on this pedestal, the fact that I think that they want, you know, just a certain, you know, professionalism, but it's not. They, like you said, they just want the real thing.
That's what we found. And during this last, obviously with the pandemic, I've been doing a lot of coaching online with doctors who are doing keynote speech through Zoom and through WebEx. And it's interesting when I turn up to these doctor coaching sessions, early on, the doctors are like, oh, yeah, I don't know what you can really teach me, Grizz. It's really interesting. And by the end of it, they just cannot get enough and they want more. And I've had that many thank you cards and that many video recordings saying, Grizz, look at where you've got me on the keynote stage delivering in Auckland when I couldn't get there. And yet you showed me how to set up my stuff and you gave me the right tools and now I love it. And, yeah, so you look at that. But doctors, when you walk in, they're like, oh, what can this girl teach? And I know that a lot of aesthetic companies I walk into and they think, oh, what could we do? And I love the fact that that's what we get. And then we do something a bit different. And we do have people saying that changed our lives. And that's cool. You've got to be gutsy.
Absolutely. You know,
It's really funny because the last time you spoke at conference, my son was there doing the photography, and he came back to me and he was just like he's like, "Oh my God, Mum, she's amazing!" Like, and I'm like, "Oh wow!" So it's not even an age thing. You can't even say that. It's like you appeal to someone like me, who's in her 30s, and my son, who's in his 20s. And I, you know, you appeal.
You're only 29. What are you talking about?
It's not an age bracket thing. It's just people wanting to or hearing what they need to do to be authentic, I think. That's kind of what it resonated with me.
Trish, that's the bit. Is I say to people all the time, just talk from the heart. And if you talk from the heart and you're genuine and add humour where you need to, but if you talk to the heart, people will resonate with that and they'll get it. And I don't even want anyone to ever think I've got to be like Grizz, because we don't. And any program I go into, I refuse to use scripts. And the reason I don't like using scripts is because scripts isn't genuine, authentic. A two-way conversation should be, I ask someone a question, I listen to the answer, and I respond to what I've just heard. Not, well, the guru said the next thing to say is this and this and this. So ditch the scripts. Obviously, product training is very different because you need to understand what products are. But when you're having a conversation or when you're presenting to someone, present from the heart. Know your information, because knowledge is power. So know that when you stand up there, you've got the knowledge, and that's when you truly speak from the heart, because you're just having a conversation with someone.
Absolutely. Trish, I'm sure Trish has, but I have seen you now, Grizz, at every ASCD and watched your full presentations. And what's really interesting is that you often talk about the memory, what information we can retain, which is something that I take on, because I'm constantly blah, 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 to everybody. I'm a good talker, I'm not a great listener. So I'm very mindful that people aren't going to remember all of the, the information that I'm trying to relay to them. But what's really interesting and what I find, somewhat of a contradiction is I can still remember your presentation from Melbourne ASCD back in, maybe 2019 or 18, and then your Sydney ASCD. And why can I still remember what you taught? I can remember you talking about the story with the man mowing his lawn, seeing the neighbour, and putting your lipstick, put on your lipstick when you come home after a big trip to New Zealand. You know, all these little things that I can remember from both conferences. How do you get people to remember things like you do?
Yeah, it's all about the what's in it for the person listening. So I'm a big believer that when I design and develop any presentation or keynote or whatever I'm talking about, is there has to be relevance to the listener and to the learner. Because we talk about Harvard Business University suggests that every single day, the average person receives about 1,800 bits of information. From those bits of information, they perceive about 60 bits. Now, when we talk about perceiving of information, that means that as we talk now and as our listeners listen, they'll say, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make my bed, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But they go home at night and they don't do that, because there's still too much information. We only react to 15 bits of information in any one day. So the only way I can get my audience to react to information is to deliver the what's in it for me. So if there's no whiffum, and if I don't give you the stories like I do that make it relevant, and I think that story with the lawnmower, we talk about, your customer's plan, like, you meet your customer for the first time, it's like your first date. 30 years' time, your customers become loyalist, but we've forgotten to remind them about why they first fell in love with us. So if we start making it about personal interest and we start talking about real lessons of life in the information I give you, the emotions and the dopamine starts resonating with you, and that's a what's in it for me, because you all know what it's like when you first fall in love with someone and the dopamine's crazy and you want to kiss all the time, and then you forget to remind them, as you're 20 years on and you've got kids to worry about. So it's all about the what's in it for someone, and those 15 bits of information that people react to in any one day, Harvard suggests they react to it, because there's a what's in it for them to want to react to it. So when I deliver anything, I think about a story that would associate with that particular bit of information. And I talk a lot about the rule of three. That's a really important part. And I know on the weekend, interestingly enough, it was spoken about in a magazine. I'm like, oh my God, that's the rule that I talk about all the time. Slip, slop, slap. Stop, drop and roll in a fire. Stop, look, listen at a curb. Nike, just do it. McDonald's, I'm loving it. 000, 911. When you start looking at all of those things, our brain is wired to think about three. Even when we talk about phone numbers, I might say, hi, Nick, it's Grizz, give me a buzz. 0-430-274-616. You're like, oh, I've got to rewind that message. Hi, Nick, it's Grizz, give me a buzz. 0-430-274-616. Hi, Nick, it's Grizz, give me a buzz. 0-430-274-616. 616. And the minute our brain can be chunked into buckets of three, we're much more able to disseminate. So you'll notice in all of my keynotes, I have three main messages and I keep repeating them. I use the simplify, emphasize, repeat rule. So make the stuff simple so people can grasp it straight away. Emphasize the key points and just keep on repeating it. And that's stuff we need to do with our clients and our patients all the time, because they cannot remember lots of information. Make the stories relevant to them. Listen to what they've said and then make up a story. Not make up a story, like have a story, but one that suits that particular patient. So there's some of the tips that I use.
They're such great tips. And I'm glad that I've been reminded and they've come back to the forefront of my mind. Yes. The other thing that you do really well that I find no one else can do, including me, is that you assert power in such a way when you begin a presentation that you don't come across like, you know, a big lovo. You know, in Australia, I feel like we do have a lot of tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
And I don't look at you and think, oh, she just loves herself and here we are, we're just going to go through a thousand different things that, you know, which some surgeons do. You know, at the beginning of their presentation, they spend 5 minutes talking about their credentials and people tend to go, okay, yes, you're better than me. But you don't get that response. People immediately feel like, oh, she's, you know, she's the real deal, but I still really like her, even though she's so super smart.
Oh my gosh, super smart. That is so never a term I've ever been, because I'm really not. Like, I was so daggy at school. And I think it's that, like, it's a privilege whenever I'm standing on anyone's stage, whenever I'm in front of anyone's clinic or in front of an audience that someone's asked me to attend, my mindset is it's an absolute privilege to be here. My mindset is I have to do a really good job and I'm so lucky. And I think because I feel like that, my opening has to be the best that it can be. And that's the bit I practice the most, so that, you know, we talk about in the first 15 to 30 seconds, have someone at hello. And if you don't get them in the first 15 to 30 seconds, it's really hard to bring back an audience. So I always make sure there's an activity or there's something funny or a funny slide or a funny video that gets people bought in straight away. And they go, oh, I might keep listening to this girl because it's not what I expected. So I'm pretty lucky that when I walk up, you know, the judging principle in the first 7 seconds, there's 11 things judged about you. I walk onto stage 5'0" with blonde hair, wearing some loud outfit or some outfit that's not a suit. So straight away, people are already judging, oh, what can she tell us? So I have to be very mindful that I have to get them at hello, because if I lose them, then I'm never going to get them back. And I spend so much time in that space. Even though you think it comes naturally, even though I do this every single day, the nerves, and we talk about butterflies, and I say to people all the time, it's really good to have butterflies because it means that you genuinely care about something, but just have them flying in the right formation. So have your butterflies, but instead of them all scatterbraining around in your little belly, fly them all in the same formation. And that means you're caring and you're not going to be overwhelmed by them. Thank you. That's this is so lovely.
That's true. I was going to say, because you're absolutely right about that. I was going to ask you actually if you get nervous, because like you don't appear to be nervous, but I know myself as well. I tend to get nervous before I, you know, meet someone for the first time or, you know, get, you know, got to talk or whatever, but you overcompensate by you're trying to be over the top kind of thing, but you don't seem to do any of that. So you've just kind of got that down pat, obviously.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of practice, and I use the nerves for really good energy, just saying, they think I can do this job, so I better do it for them. So it's all this self-talk before I walk onto anywhere. And, you know, I walk down from my room ready to do a keynote, or I walk from the car park and I'm thinking, I don't want to let Nick and Trish down. The audience are here and they don't deserve to be let down. So I have to just bring it and give it my best. And it comes from that place of I'm so lucky. So I think that then just exudes that let's just do it and you know your stuff, Grizz. I tell myself I've planned and I've prepared. I'm never a girl that just goes, oh, whatever happens, happens, because I want to do the best job I can. So I go there going, you've done the very best and it'll be okay.
So funny, because I'm the complete opposite. I'm like, yep, I'm here. I'm just going to do what I can.
You know, Trish, you're being modest. Have you told Grazina the story about the ASAPS conference in Melbourne? Trish and I both got 5 minutes to speak on marketing to a completely packed room in Melbourne at the ASAPS conference. So it was our people.
Yeah.
And I'll let Trish tell the story.
Tell me the story.
What happened is I put on a couple of kilos, and before I left Byron to head to Melbourne, I said to my husband, I had to wear a jacket, I had to wear my skirt undone because he didn't do up on me. And of course, anyway, so I'm presenting and I'd had this skirt on all day and everything was all fine. And then I thought, okay, this is great. So I got up and did my presentation. And as soon as I took a step forward and pointed at the whiteboard, my freaking skirt fell to the floor.
Oh my gosh. I'm so going to love this story. And
in
then
a room full. Yeah. In a room full. And I was
just. Your jaw dropped. I just went, that did not happen. And you stood there, Trent. You just went,
oops.
It was so terrible, Grizz.
I went, oops, that was embarrassing. And I just pulled it up, got back on and did. I was mortified. I was absolutely mortified because I heard the giggles. I heard the, and then I heard the silence as well. And I was trying to not to look at my girlfriend who was sitting in the audience, and she reckon she was trying so hard not to laugh.
Not to laugh.
I just wanted to run up and just cover. Like, oh my God. Like,
where's the sheet to cover?
Yes.
I love your recovery, Trish.
If it was your skirt, probably looked all right, you know, but this was not a pretty sight. It was a girdle stocking. Like, it was shocking. I'm just like, but anyway, I live to tell the tale.
I love the tale. And I'd love to share because I know how you feel because I had a similar thing happen at the Royal Melbourne Hospital director of pharmacy meeting. We were trying to put in a new cytochrome P450. We were trying to put in a, metastatic bowel cancer prep. So it was looking at aloxetine versus Camptosar versus 5-FU leucovorin. So that's what it was. And we're doing a big study on it and saying, you know what, Camptosar should be before oxaliplatin for these reasons, blah, 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 blah. And I bought a new bra from Bras and Things. And it was back in the days when gel bras were the brand new thing, you know, gel bras. And I had a white crisp shirt on. And I was doing this big presentation at the top with all the pharmacy team of the Royal Melbourne Hospital and all the key directors. And all of a sudden I felt everyone started looking away and I thought, oh, what's going on? Now looking away and I felt some wetness running down my shirt. The gel blue drip bra had leaked and the gel was leaking out of my bra and my boob all down my white shirt. And you could see all the guys just looking around everywhere. Anyway, I finally noticed, but by then I could feel it. So it had leaked on the bra bit, and by the time I got to my rib cage, I could feel it. And I've looked down, I'm just this leaky bra chick, right? So I said to them, this is the situation, I've got a leaky boob, we can either keep going, have breakfast and come back and do it all again. And I made Bras and Things write to the Royal Melbourne Hospital to say we're sorry, there was a faulty garment in this gel. And so it's framed, I think it's still framed on the wall of pharmacy because I became known as a leaky boob girl around the Royal Melbourne Hospital purely because of that. So high five from one skirt dropper. Yeah. To a leaky boob chick all in the one thing. And that's what happens when you're great presenting because stuff like that's going to happen and it's how you recover from it. So I'm so proud of you. Bloody well done.
I was disappointed that no one, there was no video. Like the video didn't have video.
The recovery was fantastic. It was impeccable. Couldn't have been done better.
Oh, no. God. And if you can recover from that, Trish, you can present anywhere ever again. Like you can do that because most people would have just either burst into tears or run off. Just pulling your skirt up and off you go. Keep on going. Own it.
And she's been invited back.
Oh, okay. Well, why wouldn't you be? I think
they'd like need to wear a skirt.
You know.
just come with no bottoms to start with. No point doing that to us.
At least you're wearing knickers. That's a good, imagine if you were.
Yeah, I was because it's not a common thing for me.
Oh, I don't think we haven't got girl power coming at you.
So tell me, Chris, so just as an example, for someone that doesn't know you, because we can speak about you because we know you, we've seen you, but yeah. For someone that doesn't know you, so if I owned a clinic and I thought, okay, morale's down or I just need a bit of a pick-me-up or whatever, so I'm going to ring Grizz.
Mm.
What are you going to do? You're just going to, like, will you do some research about us before?
Oh, or gosh. There's so much. Yeah, and Trish, that's probably the differentiating factor that we bring is we would never just walk into a clinic and just go, right, we're going to roll out a program. People often ring us and say, can we have your sales program? And we say, well, we don't have one. They're like, but we're ringing you for it. And we say, well, we make it on what you need because what I think you need may not be. So I need to come into clinic. First of all, we often do mystery shopping calls. So if someone rings me about a clinic, I'll start ringing them around and seeing what they're like. So I can actually go back to the clinic and say, this is it. I'll get my whole team to ring. We'll go in when we could go in. I'd go in and do mystery shopping often if a clinic was saying, oh, Grizz, what do you think we could do here? What do you think we could do? So I've got a bit of knowledge. I look at their website. I look at the research. I start speaking to people. So I'll go in and And early on, you want to have people on your side. So often if there's a training person or someone that's been looking after training, you don't want to get them offside. So they become your ally, you know, speaking to them. And I'll say to people, I won't come into clinic until I know the training manager's on board and we can look at the business outcomes together and we know what your visions are and what your expectations are. People often say to me, oh, Grizz, people can't sell in the clinic. Then, you know, nurses can't sell. And nurses are there because they want to help patients. So selling is second nature to them, but it's not about nurses can't sell. And they say, come in and do a closing workshop. And when you actually dissect the information, they don't need a closing workshop. They need active questioning. They need to know how to question somebody because the minute you ask questions, you get lots of information. And only then when you've got the information, can you ascertain what that patient needs or what that client needs. So often nurses are told just to go in and sell all the treatments and products and knowledge, but it's not, that's having a two-way interaction. So we find that the questioning workshops in the clinic is what they need, even though they're rung us for a closing workshop. Tell them how to close the sale. Well, if we teach them how to question and actively listen, that will make it do it. And even when we talk about questioning, I use the Australian Federal Police questioning technique model all the time, and it's the TED principle. Tell me, explain to me, and describe to me. Now, for anyone in any clinic, they are really simple questions. Tell me more about what you mean when you see this. Explain to me how you feel when you get up every morning and you look at your, you know, acne or your rosacea or whatever it is. Describe to me how you see your life. Like, they're really simple. The TED principle, tell me, explain to me, describe to me. So when we go back to, if someone rings me, we go in and we look at what the clinic really needs. Is it that their team isn't working together? So they actually need teamwork, because if the team doesn't function, the clinic doesn't function. So it's not even about selling. It's about getting the team. Is it that we're not providing feedback? And I talk about a positive feedback culture. How often do you say to your clinic team members, well done, thanks for working with us this week? Or do we only ring the members when we're having a breakdown, when something's gone wrong? So we need to start implementing that positive feedback culture. So the session mightn't be selling. It mightn't be anything about influencing or persuasion. It might be, how do we work together more effectively as a team? What are the expectations? How do we make this clinic live and breathe so that when someone comes in, they feel like they belong and that they want to come back time and time again and bring their friends?
You know, it's so interesting that you mentioned the listening, the talk to me, explain it to me, and describe it to me, yeah?
Yeah, tell me, explain to me, describe to me. So simple.
So many times, like these days, I find that that's the problem is when you ring somewhere, whether it be a clinic or any other business, like, they're so interested in what they've got to tell you about them that they're not actually listening to what you're saying. And I can only use Telstra, an example.
Oh, God, they're the best example because everyone uses them because they're so bad at it.
The amount of times I've rung to say something and I'll give my, you know, my spiel, this is why I'm ringing you, and they've obviously just caught the first bit of the sentence or not actually listened, you know, totally disengaged from me and not actually listened and said, okay, so you want to know about this, and then you've got to repeat yourself again and make them understand. So you're right. So it's actually getting them to understand what you're saying rather than to just listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth.
It's so true. And they're really simple. So anytime I say to someone, just ask them, tell me more about that. Explain to me how you're feeling and describe what you imagine the outcome to be. And then the person starts living in their world of what they want to be like. And then you find the right products to suit that. And the person's already said, well, that's what I want. And now you're giving it to me. It's a match made in heaven. So we just need.
You're a therapist.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. How can I help you today? Yeah, I'm like listening to anything. Yeah. Hi, Grizz. You just talk to me about your love life. Yeah. You go in the bedroom. I'm not good in that space. I just want to go to sleep.
You got the voice for it with that mic.
Yeah, I know.
Grizz, you do two different types of coaching, I believe, or maybe I'm wrong. So you coach the business owner or the person, yes, and then also the entire business and the team. Can you explain to me the difference between the two different styles of coaching or what it actually means?
Absolutely. So if we're coaching the business owner, we talk about leadership coaching, and most business owners are trying to understand how to run a business. They don't know how to lead people, and people are crazy. You know, when you start looking at teams, you've got your Mr. Grumpies and your Miss Chatterboxes and you've got your Mr. Lazies. You know, think about Mr. Men's. You've got them all covered off in your team. And the problem is, as a leader and in a business owner, you're so focused on the business just running and ticking over and getting bookings and patients that you're not leading. So my business coaching for business owners and leaders in clinics is to teach them how to be a leader for their staff and even about behavior. And I was in doing one a few weeks ago, well, on Zoom, and this particular business owner is always on her phone while she's in meetings with her clinic. So in the morning, she'll have her 20-minute whip around and she'll be on her phone. So then the clinic team are on their phone and she's screaming at me going, Grizz, why am I, they're not listening to me. And I said, well, lead by example. If you are on your phone as a leader during a meeting, then your team have every right to be on that phone as well, unless you have a reason that you need to be on that phone and they don't need to. But start leading by example. Put your phone away and be committed to them for that 10-minute whip. Don't sit in that having them all talk about and you be on your phone. That doesn't work. So when we start talking about leadership principles, we start talking about how do they lead. They set expectations of their team, and I often say to the leaders, once you have set expectations to your team, ask your team what the expectations they are of you as their leader. Because quite often it's all this one way, one directional, and business owners don't know how to make it two way. When I'm a leader, so I lead and I tell them what to do. Well, how about we have this collaborative relationship and you'll get much more from your team in that collaboration space. So that's a massive gig and it's one that we take a fair bit of time from. I've just come off actually this morning. I was doing business writing for a clinic owner down in New Zealand and she's really bad at writing emails. So she's come to me and we've had three sessions now, 1 hour sessions once a week of her how to write emails more effectively to get what she wants from her clinic, from her suppliers, from her reps, you know, because she writes these crazy emails and she realized she was getting nothing back. So we do business coaching emails, we do business. And then the clinic coaching is as a clinic fundamentally, how do we roll and looking at where they are from a time point and seeing when we change some processes, we listen to each other, we have scheduled in times and appointment and they get help in skill development where the clinic can go to. So there's a lot of different spaces that we're playing in that and not a one size fits all for anybody.
And is it only clinic owners or do you coach all different people?
All different people. I coach doctors on how to consult with patients, especially on Zoom at the moment. We coach representatives in pharma, in healthcare, in retail, media. I look after all of the leadership for Channel 9. So we're in there and we do all of their leadership training. And they've got, you know, when you start thinking about Channel 9, they'd never had leadership capability. And the apprentice that went out in film crew back in 1947 is now leading a film crew of 500 people and he's never had any leadership development. So his team run ragged. And he doesn't even know what to do because he was an apprenticed film person holding a mic or holding a light out on the street. So, you know, you look at big organisations like Channel 9 and they've never had leadership until we went in there and started doing it. And they've got, you know, in every department, 794 leaders and they've got Fairfax and they've got Met. It's phenomenal. And so you've got all these crazy people trying to lead people and they don't know what they're doing. So, yeah, it's not just clinics. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, everyone should have some sort of coach. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. Tiger Woods, you know, he was a great golfer, not so great at other things, but even the very best golfer in the world has a coach. Now, the coach isn't as great a golfer as him, but it's not about being as great at the skill. It's about looking from a different perspective and coaching someone. So coaching doesn't mean telling them what to do. So, for example, when this email I've just hung up from now in New Zealand, I didn't send her back the emails of how I'd write it. I sent her back things that we need to talk about and then I made her rewrite the email on the screen today and things like how to influence in emails. And I said to her, I said, look at other clinics on their websites when they talk about personalising, well, do you have all the products? When you offer personalisation of treatment plans, do you have all three toxins? Do you have? So it's all of that stuff of her getting to think bigger and differently. It's not about, I'm not an expert in her space at all. I'm an expert coach that can get her to think. And the minute you get someone to coach themselves, then they're actionable for their own items to do. If I tell her to do everything, she'll do nothing. If she comes up with her own solution, she's more likely to do it. So the coaching conversation is all about questions and getting her to find her own answers.
I was leaving a gap for you, Trish, if you wanted to ask something, but I can keep going. Grizz, one of the biggest challenges that I have personally, and I think sometimes Trish does as well, because Trish has mentioned to me before, is being able to set boundaries without offending people and also having the ability to say no. Because often, you know, clinics will push and push and push and everybody seems to have a story and your heart breaks for them, especially now with COVID. And I imagine clinic owners will have this with their clients, you know, who can't afford a treatment, you know, maybe for their son or daughter who has terrible acne and, you know, is living this awful life because of the acne, but the treatment's, you know, $1,200 and so on. And then I find myself giving things away for free. Then I see other marketers on social media and think, oh, I'm so resentful that they're doing so well. And here I am running around like a headless chicken trying to do everything for everyone and not actually getting anything in return. Because it's hard to talk about finances. It's hard to ask people for money, especially when you know they don't have the money. But at the same time, it's an important part of feeling valued and being able to, you know, support and contribute to your household.
Well, you've just answered your own question, because if you are of value. Now they're coming to you knowing that there's going to be money that's changing hands. So what you need to have in your mindset is when you go and get milk, do you ask for the Woolworths to take some money off of the milk? So I've only got enough for 1 litre, but I want to buy 2 litres. So Woolworths, can I just pay you the 1 litre? What would Woolworths say? They'd say no. So the first part of the conversation is you have to know that you add value, right? So I, Nicole Montgomery, add a huge amount of value, and I have to set expectation with my patients. And one thing that I encourage all clinicians to do is don't say, if a patient comes in with lips that they won't need 2 mil because they've seen a photo and that's what they want, and you say to them, I can only give you 1 mil, but it'll be fine. You'll still get a really good look. The patient walks out really disappointed. So setting expectations of saying, if you want these lips, it's going to be 2 mil. Let's do a treatment plan towards that. Now, maybe today you can't get the lips, but we can do some tox, or we can do something else, or we can start getting you on a skincare. So you're starting the process. So it's all about you're saying to the patients that you want to give them the very best results. And that means that there will be a treatment plan over a 12-month period to get you to the results. And you cannot back down from that. So all clinic owners, you have to make money as well. You know, you're not a charity. And I'm the same in my business partner, Cameron. I'd do everything for free if I could, because money doesn't excite me or motivate me. What does is this stuff of saying someone's learned something or they've got better from listening to what I've said. So I have to remind myself that I've got wages to pay. Other people's have got mortgages. And if I don't pay or get paid, I then lose out with my team because I can't employ them anymore and they can't pay their mortgages and send their kids to school. So in the back of your mind, know that you add value. Talk about being realistic and say, I understand that, you know, money is obviously of a concern. Let's look at, have you got a budget? Can we do payment option plans? I mean, there's lots of other ways now with pay, the 4 payments, 6 payments. So talk them through 3 or 4 different solutions at most. Let them go away and think about it. And you will find that majority of the time they'll say, I'll just do it. They'll find the money. They're just going to want what they want because they're going to ask you because they know you're nice. And people will do ask that. But go back to when I go to the grocery store, do I ask for, you know, my potatoes for free, or do I ask for, you don't, you go and pay for them. So it shouldn't be any different. But also be confident when you are talking to your patients and explain to them why. Say, I'm still doing this at a really, really good price point for you. And I know that you're finding it hard and I want to do everything I can. And we're going to get you to where you want to go. We're going to do it in stages. It's going to be like this. And this is what you're going to start to see. And you'll see that transformation and you won't blow your budget and you'll get the very best treatment outcomes.
Like, just to get off a different sort of topic, because like it's really hard times for people at the moment. So it's really hard, you know, to know how people can stay not only confident, but how do you, like, I'm a real passionate person. And sometimes I find it really hard to switch that passion on, you know what I mean, unless, you know, and it would come across as fake if I'm not, you know, if I'm not really passionate from inside the heart. So how do you kind of get people, how do you teach or show or guide people on how to kind of get that passion back in a time like now, say, for example? Because, I mean, you're always upbeat. Do you ever get sad?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. There's some days where I just like, this is crap. And then I have a bit of a wallow and I have a good cry. And then I think, you know what? I find the good stuff. So if I'm having a sad day, I go, gee, that's really sad. And that's yuck. And then I go, but hang on a moment. Look at all the good stuff. So I switch my mind really quickly. And I do that innately. I don't think about it anymore. And I don't know why. I don't know whether it was, I mean, I've had a really good life and I've been so lucky and, you know, I never want to die and come back as someone else because I just want to be me forever. So I'm certainly haven't had a crappy life, but you know, in life stuff happens to you. And I've always chosen to look on the bright side of it in saying that, Trish, I do have breakdowns and meltdowns. And then I just have my little cry. And Jamie Lee, my daughter, often says to me, oh, you know, you're just always upbeat and you know, you're always positive. And I don't know why it is. And I don't want to change it because it is genuine and authentic. But on my crap days, I'll ring you, don't worry. And I'll go, I'm having a shit day. And now I'm having a bit of a cry. But what I think for people that are in, obviously we're in COVID at the moment, life is really, really, really tough. Allow yourself to have the crappy days. What I want you not to do, though, is continue to have them day after day after day. So if you're having lots of crappy days in a row, that's when you're really are sad and you probably need to talk to somebody, but have your awful days and then do something that you love, whether it's eat ice cream, watch a movie, ring a friend. You know, there's lots of different things that you can do. If I'm having a crappy day, I'll often put on a Netflix.
Oh, sorry, I was saying wine.
Wine. Wine's great. Have a wine, not a depressant. Might make you sad. I've never had an alcoholic drink in my life. There's a fun fact for you. I've never had alcohol. I know in saying that, I do love chocolate and stuff like that, but I think everyone needs to have their down times. What I want them to do, though, is just find one good thing. And we talk about the happiness advantage all the time. You know, Dr. Sean Acor, there's an amazing TED talk on the happiness advantage. And if you can start viewing your world differently by changing the lens on your brain. So what that means is every day we wake up, we look at our phone and there's COVID drama and there's this happening and there's that happening and all these things. So it's negative, negative, negative. So then we scan the world and we look for the negative. We keep looking for more COVID numbers. We keep looking for latest plans of lockdown getting out of. And so our brain doesn't actually see the full world. And what we want to start doing is going, rightio, today I'm going to write down three good things that happened to me. Now, those three things might be the silliest of little things ever. I got a good coffee. Someone said my name right. And someone said, thank you. Now, they might be the three things, but if you can start writing three things down every single day that were good in your day, as little as they are, as minute as you can possibly find, all of a sudden, tomorrow when you wake up, your brain will start to not just look at negative, but it'll start to find more positive. And so if you do that for 21 days, all of a sudden your brain doesn't even see negative anymore. It's looking for the good things because it's got to write it down at the end of the day. So there's some really good tips and hints, and the happiness advantage is awesome. If your brain is in the happiness zone, doctors diagnose 18% more effectively. If your brain's in the happiness zone, you sell 37% more effectively. So it's all about that dopamine. And if you've got dopamine flooding through your brain, it turns on all your learning centers. And so you'll start to learn new things in this crappy pandemic, and you might want to start doing macrame. Well, if there's something you want to do, just go and give it a whirl. You've got nothing to lose. And I say to people, give something a try. And I did do a little thing the other day called the 5-second rule. And what that suggests is if you want to do something, all of a sudden, the minute you start doing it, your brain tells you why you shouldn't be doing it. So the example I used the other day was, if I want to go and see Trish, you're over in the corner at one of the conferences, and I really want to come and say hello to you. I get to go up and I think, oh, hang on a moment, Trish won't want to see me. I've got nothing really to say. She's talking to somebody. Oh, she won't want to hear me. So I don't come and speak to you, as opposed to the minute I see you, my brain says, I really want to say hello to Trish. I get up out of my chair and I literally start walking to you. And the minute I start walking to you, it doesn't give my brain time to give me negative reasons why not to do something. It's no different to if you've got to write an email or talk to a patient on pricing. That patient's going to come in and they want to know pricing today. The minute you start thinking about it, instead of just saying, let's chat about what your budget looks like and the treatment plan over the next 12 months. And as you start saying it, your brain hasn't got time to start giving you the negative feedback for it. So whenever you want to do something, just take that first step or that first written or that first give it a go, and your brain will stop giving all this negative stuff about it.
Nike, it's that just do it, hey.
It is. It's that just do it. What have you got to lose? If you're not hurting anybody, you know, it's not going to danger you, or what's wrong with just writing an email? Give it a go.
So cool.
And what's the worst thing that can happen? I mean, someone will say, look, sorry, I can't talk to you at the moment. Okay, no worries. See you later.
That's the bit. What if they say, yes, I can talk to you? What if they say, yes, I want that? What if they say, you know what, I've got that savings fund when we didn't go on the holiday, I'm going to use, like, what if? And more times than not, the worst case scenario never, ever, ever happens. Our brain just conjures up all this stuff that says it's going to all be bad. So I take a look on, I'm going to give it a go, and what's the worst that can happen? I mean, I sell programs that I don't even have to people. If we're pitching something and if someone says, oh, can you do this? I'm like, yep. And then I go away and work out how to do it. You know, and that's that entrepreneurial speak that all clinic owners and businesses should have is, well, say yes and then work out how later, because there's always a way to do anything if you just try.
That's so true. And, you know, just while you're talking about that, I've got all these notes here. I've been putting myself on mute and diving all these little quick notes. But the happiness advantage.
Yeah.
I was thinking as well, I reckon, and I don't know if I'm right or if I'm wrong, but I reckon if you're having a treatment with someone, or if you're having surgery with someone or whatever, I actually genuinely believe that that person's feelings or emotions or whatever at that day kind of transfer to you. Call me a weirdo, but I am from Byron Bay, so we do think a little bit, you know, but I really believe that. Like, I think that, you know, it's really important to align yourself with people that actually make you feel good. Like if you're having a consult, make sure you go to something, you know, that person's got to make you feel good, or you've got to feel comfortable. You've got to resonate with them that, you know, you're going to be comfortable with them doing everything and you know, transferring their energy to you, if you like, want of a better word.
You are no weirdo.
You're one of those people. We're all attracted to you like a magnet. Grizz, you are one of those people.
Oh, God, love you. Well, that's good. I love being in the gang of the happy people. And you're not a weirdo, Trish, can I just say, why would you want to go to someone? And it's no different to, you know, if you walk into a clinic and the team doesn't function and everyone's fighting with everyone, as a patient or a client, you walk in and you feel the tension. The fighting's finished. There's no one fighting, but you feel it. So every time you go in that clinic, you're like, I don't want to be there. Or if you're going to a friend's house, and you know that the husband, you know, says awful stuff, or you go in and that feeling is there. Why would you want to put yourself in an environment where you don't feel good? You want to put yourself in an environment where you walk out and go, I can't wait to go back because I had the time of my life when I was there, or I felt good, or they made me feel special. And similar to today, we are doing podcasts every day, girls, because I tell you what, you've made me feel so good. And I just want to come on. It's true. Like, why would I not want to come and hang back with you when you say such lovely things and you make me feel on top of the world? That's the stuff. And it's all done genuinely. And if you can make people feel like that, they'll want to come back time and time again and bring their friends.
And I'm going to have to leave this podcast and go and put some makeup on and make myself look half decent, because I'm wallowing in that, you know, that sort of like, oh, when are we going to open? And this stuff. Oh, well, I'll just, you know.
I feel the same way, Trish.
I might even colour my hair today. Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo! Oh, God, mine. Look at that. Look at those roots. For those listeners who can't see, this is 4 months of no hairdo because it was due.
Bayard, something like that.
Yeah, I know. People pay lots of money for Bayard, don't Billy eyes, don't they? But I do put on my lippy and my makeup every day. Even in hospital, it was so funny. My doctors would come in and I'd put spray tan on. And they'd be like, what are you doing, Chris? And I'm like, well, I just feel better when I'm browner. So I'm sorry that all of our white towels and your white, beautiful robes don't look white. They've been in Grizz's room. But if you make yourself feel good, and I even wear heels even when I'm presenting, because I feel like that's what I would be doing if I'd be presenting on stage. So I have to feel it. Then if I feel it, I can portray it. And then if you portray it, people will bring it back to you.
Well, I'm not standing
the same way with clothes. You know, like when you've got a new outfit and you just feel like I'm rocking this.
So it's so true. And when you're having a bad hair day, you feel crappy. You're having a bad hair day. And that's what you focus on is your bad hair, your bad hair, your bad hair. So try and, you know, for those of you, I mean, you don't have to groom to feel happy, but if that's your normal style, and because COVID has stopped us needing to groom, well, keep on grooming. Like, what? Why not? You can still wear makeup around the house if you want, or your lippy on to make you feel better. And that's what, I mean, Julia Ross, personnel, was a temping agent many years ago, and she would make people put their lipstick on before they answered the phone, because when the girls had their lipstick on, they got better call retention, better call activation, and better sales. Because obviously when their lippy was on, they were smiling more through the phone, or their articulation or tone and inflection changed because they felt like they had something on their mouth. It's dumb as it sounds.
It doesn't sound dumb at all. It makes a whole lot of sense. It's true. If you feel like you look good, you actually just feel better about yourself.
So much so. Yeah, there's a lot to be said.
You know.
Awesome. That's why you don't wear pajamas all day. Unless you love being in pajamas, or you're having a PJ day, that's all right.
Lounging outfits, we call them. Oh, look, that's been so good, Grizz. Nicole, have you got anything else to ask Grizz that we haven't covered already?
No, look, you know what? I could go on all day. I did want to ask Grizz about NLP.
Yes.
What is this NLP that people keep talking about?
Oh, my God, linguistic programming. So it's really just understanding people's world. So, I mean, there's so many different variations of it now. There's strengths coaching, there's DISC training, it's all about behavior, but it's all about that locking into understanding someone else so that you can adapt your style to suit that person. There's a lot of fundamentals around the holistic stuff of it. And there's a lot of big words used by it, and it can be sometimes a bit confusing. But what I always say when people say, oh, NLP training, NLP training, I say it's understanding the person that you're having the interaction with and working out how they like to receive communication, being empathetic. So knowing, are they the people that want to talk about their weekend, or aren't they the people? Are they the people that you need to show your baby photos to, or don't they care about your baby photos? So in the big picture thing, we can spend a whole podcast on NLP and we can do that another time. But what I want people to take away from it, because it's so confusing, is just think about the person you're having the interaction with. And when you are listening to them, listen to learn, listen to understand, and listen to engage back. be empathetic. As leaders, we need to start showing empathy, because you look at people homeschooling at the moment, right? And they're homeschooling, they're trying to be on meetings all day, they're trying to do everything they can. And a leader can't just say, well, I don't care, I need my work done. We need to start looking at the surroundings around us, and that incorporates NLP, but it also incorporates just being empathetic with people and knowing that people are doing it really tough, and trying to adapt your style and your communication and your outputs with that particular person.
Chris, I think that you are the Brené Brown of Australia.
Oh my God. That's what you have. Let's just start promoting that, shall we? Yeah, get in the ring with me and don't bloody criticize me if you're not in the ring standing next to me. I love that. Like Theodore Roosevelt, her quote, and it's true. It's courage, isn't it? It's the bloody courage to do something and give it your all. And if you fall down and fail, you're happy to get feedback from people that are doing it with you, but do not take the cheap sheets. She's amazing.
That's true. Oh, look, thanks so much for joining us today, Chris. And we definitely would love to take you up on that podcast just on NLP. That would be amazing.
Yeah. You book it in and let's talk a whole session, because there's so much stuff and you can't really do it in 2 minutes flat because it just gets confusing.
Oh, confuses the heebie-jeebies out of me.
Yeah. So let's do a podcast on NLP. Come back and listen. Listen loud. Listen long. Well, give me a new slogan. Listen that loud. Listen long.
Loud, listen long.
With the lovely ladies.
Lovely, luscious ladies.
Yeah.
We have to get Jamie Lee on. And then we'd be an awesome foursome.
Oh, my gosh, she would love that. Bring her on. She'll tell us about the generational stuff that you and I are so young for.
Oh, we love it.
Yearn for what they do now. I heard new words the other day and I nearly fell over.
We want to know.
Oh, no, you don't. Not for this. It might be a bit rude.
If you watch younger, you get to find out all about the lingo for the millennials. It's so interesting.
What show was that, Trish?
Younger on Stan.
You'll
love it.
I will love it. I've just finished Sex Education season 3. Oh, God, I love it. So love it. We'll talk about bad words and NLP when next we hang out together.
Yay! Thank you so much, Grizz. We're going to wrap it up with you and let you go and enjoy your day and spread happiness everywhere your beautiful pretty pink. And, of course, we are going to listen to Mind the Gap.
Yes, you are.
Yes. And we can't thank you enough. We will definitely see you again for NLP and listen long.
Yes, that's what you'll do. Thank you for having me. And on my crappy crying days, I'll record it and send it to you, so you know that I'm normal.
Yay. Thanks, Chris.
Have a great day, team. And listeners, thanks for listening to the gang. I've had so much fun. I feel very loved. Later, dude.
Thanks.
Got a burning question for Trish and Nick at Aesthetics Uncensored? Slide into their DMs on Instagram @AestheticsUncensored. Stay positive, boobs and chin high.